Lori, we did it. Show number 3 of the Travel Vertical podcast. I'm excited.
Yes, me too. Glad to be back.
It is going to be a great show, a unique show today. We've got our first guest, which we'll get to. And there's also a lot happening in the industry.
There is. We're calling it DMO awesomeness because there's so much going on that is innovative within the DMO community, from websites to job boards to rebranding.
This goes back, Lori. The pandemic is awful and has been awful for the industry, but so much innovation has happened throughout this pandemic. You guys have been highlighting it on your weekly See Tomorrow series and the stuff you were doing earlier on in the pandemic. It really is amazing to see the innovation and awesomeness that's coming out of so many destinations right now.
Yes. Well, you know, I saw this commercial from Tourism Switzerland, and I know we're not here to talk about inbound Europe business, but Switzerland is always amazing. So of course, you know, you look at Switzerland, they've got Roger Federer doing their as their ambassador. Anyway, they did 90 seconds of him together with Robert De Niro. And I was just like, okay, that is amazing, this YouTube. But we've got to go and look around and see what, you know, what we're doing here. And I found so much DMO awesomeness, starting with Visit St. Pete Clearwater, which has actually produced an 8-part TV series that is storytelling in the Supreme. They've been working on it for a few years with the studio called Odyssey that's part of Miles Partnership. So amazing project from Visit St. Pete. And then we looked at rebrands that are happening in Augusta, Georgia, and Fort Lauderdale.
I saw that one.
Yep. And then we went and we looked at some more awesomeness that we found all over the place, from Oklahoma to Omaha to the horses in Lexington, Kentucky, getting a makeover for Mother's Day.
Yeah. Do you think that all these destinations realized that the Etsy Awards are coming up and decided, you know what, we better get it in gear and get something out there so that we can win?
You're right. The Etsy Awards are coming up to their 4th year. And that's a part of the eTourism Summit, where we gather applications, we have a judging panel of experts, and we look at 12 or 13 different categories, from best website to email marketing to campaigns that went viral to great social media hits.
I love it. Well, it's going to be fun. And you know, we at Relic are really proud to be sponsoring the Etsy Awards, and I think it's going to be tough competition this year.
Yes, but it's fun, and the whole point is just to shine a spotlight on some of the great stuff that people are doing and share that with the community. That's really what eTourism Summit has always been about. So stimulate the minds and say thank you and prize for the winners. And so you're sponsoring that. Thank you very much indeed, together with Expedia Group Media Solutions.
Great. And I guess my last question before we get to our guest, Lori, is, you know, we're seeing a lot of destinations rebranding right now. Why do you think that is?
Well, why not? I mean, we've had 14 months, you know? So I think whether it's a destination or it's chewing gum, you know, there's been time to think about, you know, the foundational aspects of a brand, who we are, and what do we stand for? What are the values? And see if that fits. It's quite possible that in the case of Myrtle Beach, they indicated that they had been off the same branding for 10 years. So it's time for an upgrade.
Yeah. What better time to reevaluate anything? I mean, your audience mm-hmm. has probably changed, and your attractions may have changed, and so many things have changed. It's a good time to reevaluate everything.
Yeah, I agree. So destinations are doing that. And, you know, we didn't know when we'd be coming back, but ever since last March, of course, we knew that recovery would come. And so we've known for a long time that things would never look the same again. So why should the brand?
Yep. It's nice to see some optimism in the industry, because I don't think this work would be done if people didn't think that travel is making a comeback. So fun to see the optimism going around the industry.
Yes, I'd say to people, if you want to see what's going on where, we've got 3 articles in the travel vertical. There was so much, I couldn't even put it in one article. So a list of about 12 destinations. And if anybody's got another example, then we're always happy to hear about it.
Yeah, send them in. Let's talk about it.
Yep.
Well, great. We've got a wonderful guest today, and let's move into that interview. It's going to be fun.
We're going to be talking to Melvin Tennant, who is more than 14 years now the CEO of Meet Minneapolis, and we're delighted to have him join us today.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
Yeah, Melvin, thanks for taking the time. And, you've had a challenging year in Minneapolis, and it's something that has got to be affecting the tourism industry there. And we've got a few questions for you to kind of help other destinations who may be navigating different challenges, similar or even if it's different challenges in what you're going through, of how you guys have been able to get through the last year.
Well, we certainly have had an interesting event-filled year. So clearly there's some lessons learned.
Well, during the pandemic, Melvin, every destination learned a good deal about handling crisis management and maintaining accurate communications and, importantly, balancing resident sentiment. But considering all the unique circumstances of events in Minneapolis over the last 12 months, it's hard to imagine that any destination could have a trickier job than you.
Well, it's the way we look at it, it was a set of challenges that were clearly unprecedented, but we were hit hard by the pandemic. In fact, we were just 2 days away from an NCAA championship, a wrestling championship, mm-hmm. and a number of other cities were facing the cancellation of an NCAA event as well. That was in the spring. Then the onset of the pandemic, followed by the murder of George Floyd in our city, which hit our destination harder than anywhere because we became the epicenter of a new movement for justice and equity. So that was a challenge within a challenge. And thirdly, when our city council and leaders in the city made the decision to want to disband or defund the police, that created another set of challenges for us. So another crisis, at least from the standpoint of communicating. But yes, we've had to deal with all of those at the same time.
And all of that as well with the world watching, with the media yes. attention.
Yes, I would say that with the trial of one of the four police officers responsible for the death of George Floyd, we had media from all over the world. So mm-hmm. we were very much in the limelight. But what that also created was an opportunity to see the city, not just from the standpoint of a place where an innocent black man was killed, but it's a real city dealing with real challenges and making progress in dealing with those challenges.
Yeah, Melvin, they say that no press is bad press. And yet you've got, I think it was really good to bring to light a lot of the issues and challenges facing our country that obviously came to light in that situation. But then you've got the tourism perspective, right? And so those are somewhat, they're not competing challenges, but they definitely have different perspectives on the media attention that was coming from Minneapolis. What kind of conversations have you guys had to have to navigate, making sure that you're keeping visitors coming to the destination and keeping a positive interest on the destination?
I would say, Adam, the first rule would be authenticity in our messaging. We as a DMO are looked to as the trusted resource. And if we were to in any way not deliver an authentic, real message, we would lose our credibility. So starting with the murder of George Floyd, very shortly after that happened, we sent proactive communications out to our numerous stakeholders condemning that act. And we've, from that point, have continued to update that message and to make sure that we were delivering the message from our not just from our perspective, but as the trusted resource of the traveling public, so that they wouldn't have to necessarily weave through all of the various media accounts and really try to figure out what's really going on. We wanted the visitors and those looking to come here with group business to know exactly what was going on. So it was that authenticity and it was that proactive way in which we communicated. And I'll just step back just real quickly. It really started with our staff. We had to make sure that our staff was completely up to speed on everything that was going on. And we just developed a series of concentric circles as we fanned out to our board, our community, and then to our various customer audiences.
Well, when you layer that, as you spoke earlier about these layers that, you know, hit like boom, 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 and the brakes are on. So what happened to the marketing message? Did you need to pause that marketing message?
We did. We did pause our paid media because we had actually already paused that during the pandemic because we wanted to make sure that we delivered the message when the traveling public was ready. We wanted to be there for them, making sure that traveler confidence was at a point where visitors wanted to get back out and visit. So we'd already paused from that perspective, but clearly after the murder of George Floyd, we had to really look at a more one-on-one or customized approach to reaching our various audiences. So yes, we paused that type of media, but we still understood that through social and other channels, we had to continue to make sure that the traveling public knew that we were still operating as a destination. And obviously, we had to use our local metro community as the new client base. So we spoke a lot to our metro area residents and encouraging them to come to Minneapolis to experience the things that were available for them.
And is your campaign back live? And if so, what is your messaging right now?
Well, we're actually, I'm glad you asked us that question. Now that all the various restrictions that were imposed by CDC and all regarding the pandemic, we are launching a campaign, have launched a campaign, 8 Reasons Why to Visit Minneapolis. And reason number one is a community leading the path forward. So we are leading with what we consider our responsibility and our stewardship of a justice and equity movement. We take that responsibility very seriously. Just anecdotally, if you'll recall, after George Floyd was killed back in May of 2020, if there were other incidents that happened relative to a police-involved death of an individual, it always referenced back to George Floyd. And that really has become the touchstone for this movement. And we take that very seriously. And hence, we want to make sure that the world knows that we are a community leading the path forward. So that is part of our marketing message, but still we are marketing the numerous attributes that we have in terms of how visitors and event planners can have a successful experience in our city.
We had, before the pandemic, we had started a conversation among DMOs about the M in DMO and whether or not it actually stands for destination management rather than destination marketing. Do you feel that's the case, or is it a very important M that plays two roles? Just like your slogan, Meet Minneapolis, talks about not only meetings and conventions, but I imagine it also refers to meet as in discover for people who are coming as leisure visitors.
You're exactly right. The management component of DMO work for us has been going on for a long time. One of the more recent manifestations of that was our tourism master plan, which we conducted in 2017. So it came up with 8 pillars of activities that we wanted to implement or achieve in order for us to be an appreciably more marketable destination by the year 2030. Things have obviously changed in terms of the initial assumptions that we made with that tourism master plan, but we aggressively and proactively looked at assets and policies that we needed to advocate for to make us a stronger destination. One of those examples is we have a very underutilized resource with our Mississippi River, which runs right through downtown Minneapolis. So we advocated, for example, within the Tourism Master Plan that we should have a visitor center right along the riverfront. And through partnerships and things that are being done with other organizations, that is slowly but surely coming to fruition. So we had already begun that work as a management organization of the destination. And we talk within our own team, our marketing team, that we are stewards of the brand. So we take that very seriously. So through a very assertive reputation management initiative, we know that we have to do some convincing of the traveling public that we're still very viable as a destination. So we're beginning that process of the reputational issues at this point now as another part of destination management.
You know, Melvin, in that same vein, obviously the management side of things is super important, and it's becoming more and more important. And the pandemic and all the other crises that you guys went through over the last year really played into that. We've got so many destinations and their partners that listen. I would imagine that in a year with so many crises within your destination, you probably built some sort of here's how we're going to handle things like this when they happen so that you can be prepared for the future. What advice would you give other destinations in how to approach crises in general?
The first and foremost piece of this foundation is communication. We had the good fortune of hosting a number of major events over the years, from Super Bowls to Final Fours to X Games. And we learned that with all the moving pieces and with things that would maybe change at the drop of a hat, we needed to have a system in place to communicate with all of the folks that we needed in the room to make certain things happen. So we knew that with the pandemic and then with the murder of George Floyd, we had to make sure that our leadership team was in constant communication and was able to reach each other on a very regular basis. So we, at the very beginning of the pandemic, for example, had daily leadership team meetings just to see what had changed, because things were changing so quickly. So communication, and I think I mentioned earlier that communicating with our team was extremely important, because the last thing you want is a team member representing your destination saying to someone in some forum, "I didn't know that," or "I didn't know what was going on." So we tried to be as open and transparent as possible. We had established several commitments to our team that we would value them above all other things, knowing that they are our most prized asset. We told them that if there was news to share, even if it wasn't always good news, we would share it with them in a very compassionate way. So we had these commitments, and we've tried to live up to those. And based on the comments that our team has made to our leadership folks, we've had some success in that area. So the communication and making sure that your core audience is, starting with your team and your board, are never surprised.
And how about the resident community? How are they feeling at the moment about tourism? And do you have ambassadors out there who are helping you to provide the right message and overcome objections?
We started, absolutely. Thank you for asking that question. We started by focusing on the small businesses that were impacted by not just the lack of travel, but the pandemic overall. So we had a pretty significant local campaign called We Need Us, which was a campaign to encourage our local citizens to visit small businesses, perhaps in neighborhoods that they had not been to for a while. So that was the way in which we became more of a relevant piece of the local fiber of the community, whether it was very early on, before people were even wanting to venture out of their home. We had a lot of resources on our website about takeout availabilities of places where you could get takeout. And then as people became more confident in getting out, we were able to promote the fact that you can get out and visit without going very far by going to another neighborhood in the part of the community. So one of the odd byproducts of the pandemic is that a lot of local residents got to know us because they didn't know us before. Most of our efforts had been focused externally. And since we had no choice but to focus within our own community, we became more well-known than previously with our local constituents and stakeholders.
Yeah, that's great. That engagement had to have resulted in more recognition of your efforts in the destination. I'm wondering, Melvin, what does a successful 2021 look like for you? Since, you know, it's a different year. We're coming out of several crises in your destination. So how are you guys going to evaluate your success this year?
We do have our normal key performance indicators, which relate to the total of hotel room nights that we generate. We also about revenue at our convention center, the number of our partner businesses that we retain. We also are responsible for a generation of tax revenue, hospitality tax revenue. We know those are going to be suppressed this year because we don't expect our occupancies to return to pre-pandemic levels. But what I'll say is that we will be judged by, in my view, how well we've facilitated community engagement. We just talked about that a moment ago. But another area where we've made great strides is in staff development. We've had team members that have gotten new certifications, that they've really learned new skills and really adapted to a new work environment. So for the long haul, I'm really most excited about the staff development side and the fact that this year has been such an educational opportunity for our entire team, both individually and collectively.
Kudos to everybody. And I saw an amazing job board that you have put up on your website to support the community and, you know, dishwashers, chefs, hotel front desk people. That's terrific because, you know, we see from coast to coast that the next challenge is going to be finding the right staff as we recover.
You're right. Our partnership team championed that initiative and it has grown by leaps and bounds. And I always like to say that we need to take notice of our frontline employees, really taking care of them and whatever we can do to encourage them, because they literally keep the promises that we make.
I tell you, time flies when you're talking about interesting and important topics. I appreciate you coming on today, Melvin. Wondering, you know, as a parting thought, anything we haven't asked you that you feel like would benefit the destinations and their partners that are listening to our show?
Well, I would just say that with Minneapolis being the epicenter of a new movement, and as I mentioned previously, owning that and really being the stewards of that, I just want us to remember as an industry that as we recover, that we want that recovery to be inclusive. We know that there have been BIPOC businesses and BIPOC employees that were already marginalized before the pandemic. So as we get into this robust recovery, let's make sure we pay close attention to making sure that BIPOC businesses and BIPOC workers are able to share in that recovery.
Well, thank you so much. We send you our very, very best wishes for an amazing recovery, and we will be watching, supporting you, and please let us know if there's anything any of us can do within the community to help.
Thank you. We're excited about our future.
Yeah, it's been great to get to know you a little bit, Melvin, and we'd love to, if anybody wants to follow up with you or has more questions, what's a great way for people to, whether it's to learn about you or Minneapolis, to get a hold of you?
We're easy to find. Minneapolis.org is our website, and all the people you would like to contact is there. Plus, you'll get a chance to look at all of our new initiatives and the way in which we engage in the community. So that's a great start.
Thanks a lot. Yeah. And we'll follow up with those 8 pointers, if I may, and we'll write those up in the travel vertical so people can get them.
Thank you so much.
Thank you too.
Thanks, Melvin.
We are so appreciative to Melvin Tennant for joining us today. What an awesome conversation about some really tough issues.
Yeah, we set the bar high for guests, didn't we, Lori?
Yeah, we were delighted that he could make it.
Well, thank you, Lori, for arranging to have Melvin come on. Thanks to Melvin for joining us today. And thanks, everybody, for listening. It's been a fun 3 episodes so far, and we've got a long way to go, and we're excited to keep bringing this to you every other week.